The Guardian.
Hey, it's Lee Alexander, and before you get started with this edition of Chips with Everything, we want to point you in the direction of our sponsor, Squarespace. For everything that you need to set your website apart, head to squarespace.com/guardian to get 10% off your first purchase. And now, on with the show.
Hey, it's the show's producer, Matt, here. Just wanted to let you know that next week we will not have a new episode of Chips with Everything going out because we are working on some new ones. But we won't leave you empty-handed. Next week we'll have a quasi-techie episode of another one of The Guardian's other great shows going live on our feed. That'll be up later on next week. Also, if you have a personal relationship with or a story about technology that you think would be fun or interesting to share on our podcast, you should definitely get in touch with us. You can reach us at guardianchips@gmail.com. I'll respond to you. I'll ask you how your day's been. It'll be great. Now, today's episode is about our intimate connections with one another. It's about relationships and love and about technology and what the future might look like when they all come together. It's really interesting. It gets a little bit weird. I think you'll like it. Enjoy the episode.
Hey, I'm Laurie. I'll be your operator. And welcome to your free trial of Coming Out Premium, the original and best live social support service. Here's how it'll go. We'll walk around, and if you see a person of interest, I can tell you about them and how to get their attention. Get the edge in dating. Get the confidence for conversation or, you know, just get some company. Best of all, never forget anyone's name ever again. Because I'll be right here in your ear with all your social feeds at my fingertips. Okay, so hit confirm to start your free trial. See you in there.
Hey everyone, it's Lee Alexander, and as Matt said, in today's episode, we're going to be focusing on the future of love and relationships, and importantly, how technology is going to fit into the mix. And to explore that theme and to uncover what love is actually going to look like in 15 or 20, even 30 years' time, we're going to be talking to a few people who are involved in this year's Future Fest. Now, Future Fest is a festival put on every 18 months here in London, and this year's edition narrows in on four themes. The future of work, the future of play, the future of thriving, which is all about health and wellness, and finally, the future of love.
What we've looked at within Coming Out is actually how you may not lose any of that intimacy, that first love at first sight type feeling, and actually how tech can support and reimagine that just within your physical space. So it's about those meetings that you don't lose that, but how tech actually can just act as a way of communicating that to somebody.
What will love look like a couple decades from now? Will we all be dating bots, bringing them home to meet our parents? How does technology fit into the mix? All of that and more on today's show. From The Guardian, it's Chips with Everything. Here's the show. I feel that there's often a lot of conversations that take place around love and technology, but most of them tend to be pretty limited, like, is Tinder changing our relationships? Is Twitter changing the way that we talk to each other? I actually don't think that those things have changed that much about the way we interact. I don't know if Tinder is actually a meaningful way of creating intimacy. It's just maybe one of many new avenues for meeting people. But when we talk about future love, we're thinking of the ways that technology is actually going to enable intimacy in the future. And to learn more about the scope of what future love actually means, we spoke to the curator of the love portion of this year's Future Fest, Guylenn Boddington.
Boddington. I run a small business called Body Data Space, but we're linked into working with creative industries, with education and into the arts as well. So I have a readership at University of Greenwich in the Department of Creative Professions and Digital Art. And I'm working with Nesta, of course, at the moment on the FutureFest Festival.
And Guylenn actually has a really interesting past. Before gaining her readership at University of Greenwich and becoming the expert in digital love that she is today, she was a dancer.
I'm coming from a dance background, performing arts, and I trained as a dancer. But I always had quite a lot of technology interest, which I'd grown up with at home. And in the late 80s, early 90s, the two crossed over. So from about 91, I've been working with what I call body technologies in the dance sector, and then taking that out much further, obviously right through to today, into where body technology is very important for all of us.
Those body technologies that Ghislaine is talking about? Things like
robotics and wearables and motion capture and telepresence.
Those things, Ghislaine says, aid in
developing digital intimacy. And we've been really looking at the live emotional body and what technology can do to complement us, placing the body at the centre of that and the skin as the interface for technology, rather than technology just being made for us and we have to have it and use it in whatever form it is, and it not necessarily made directly for ease and natural use with the body.
This development of digital intimacy that she describes, that was the core theme that she kept in mind when she was asked to curate and design the Future Love strand of this year's Future Fest.
Future Love is something in all of us. It's a universal need. Everybody's got some hopes and fears about future love. It's there whether you're in a full-time relationship or whether you're actually single and looking for the relationship. And it's there whether you're a child, whether you're a senior, whatever culture you're coming from, whatever background.
When Ghislaine pieced together the structure of what future love would look like, she broke it down into four smaller categories. These are categories that she thinks will define the future of love for all of us and how tech is going to play a part in making that supposed future a reality.
The first one is hypersensory awareness and enhanced sensuality. So we've got out there in the world now many, many small companies who are creating very special tools which are leading towards digital intimacy.
The second category is shifting identities.
And that is a very clearly a big debate of today. So, you know, breaking down this polarization of, you know, male at one end and female at the other end, and actually the discussion about the non-binary in the middle. But actually, what is technology doing to feed into that? Because many of us now today are able to have multi-identities. We come out into the world in different ways and into virtual worlds in different ways. And that's freed up people to actually start to be themselves more.
The third theme is synthetic emotions.
And that, of course, again, in the papers a lot around at the moment, we're looking at the love of the non-human human. So whether that's a robot, an avatar in virtual worlds, whether it's actually future looking at cyborgs, yeah, and our bodies becoming semi-technology with implants, etc. What does that mean when you're 25 in 10 years' time and you bring a date home to meet your parents and actually they're semi-cyborg, or they are not quite sure whether they want to be male or female at the moment and they're playing a non-binary game? It's a very shifting world at the moment.
And finally, they'll also be looking at
the digital afterlife. So we have a very nice installation called Love After Death, and several of the people involved in that will be speaking on the stages, and they're going to be putting forward a kind of legacy document for us all to fill in, and they're bringing with them certain artifacts to show us how people are actually making things with their loved ones prior to death and having memorial things with them which have got digital parts in them.
Yeah, really, really interesting stuff. So, to dig a bit deeper, I talked to a couple of people who've developed a project that will be premiering at Future Love. You heard a clip of audio from the project at the top of the episode.
I'm Laurie. I'll be your operator today. Hold on.
Now that's coming up, and we'll be right back.
This episode of Chips with Everything is sponsored by Ravelin. Fraud attack is now the most common crime in the UK, and it's online merchants who are picking up the tab. Ravelin protects businesses from attack by fraudsters. Its artificial intelligence techniques can spot fraud rings and prevent fraudulent transactions before they even happen. To find out more and to arrange a demo, head to ravelin.com, hit the green button, and enter the offer code CHIPS to receive an exclusive 1 month discount for your business. That's ravelin.com. Ravelin prevents fraud, protects your margins. This Guardian podcast is sponsored by Squarespace. To find out more about how to set your website apart, head to squarespace.com/Guardian.
A Again, it's Lee Alexander, and earlier on we heard from Ghislaine Boddington, a curator at FutureFest. She talked in theoretical terms about what love and tech might look like in the future. Now, to find out a bit more about what that all might look like in practice, we've got the producer of an audio sensory experience premiering at FutureFest, and it's called Coming Out.
My name's Marie Horner, so I work at the Roundhouse, which is an arts venue up in North London. We work with young creatives, so under 25s. My job there is the broadcast and digital program producer, and my background's as an audio producer. So I also work specifically with podcasts and location-specific audio, so outside of the studio and making documentaries and amazing things like that. So wonderfully, FutureFest approached the Roundhouse and we started talking about partnership opportunities that we might be able to look at. And I obviously, with audio, was really continually interested in how we can make audio that's related to the environment in which the person is experiencing it.
And according to Marie, audio is one of the best ways to present what the future holds for relationships and love. She says there's something unrefined and intimate about an experience based purely in audio.
They go, oh, okay, our ears. Okay, so what stories would we tell and why if we're being led by our ears? There's a very practical physical relationship between our ears and our bodies, which doesn't take over all of our senses. So if you think about sort of speaking into what you're saying, if you think about the fact that when you are just being led by your ears, your other senses are free. Your eyes are open. This is, of course, understanding that you have all of the senses. So thinking about that, thinking about how the other senses aren't restricted, as an audience member, you start to have more freedom around taking ownership of what you're hearing, because we're not taking over all of your senses. We're just doing one and leading you through. So you start to take a little bit more ownership. There's a little bit more intimacy. You start to build pictures within your own mind around what you're hearing.
Now, what actually happens on this auditory journey is this.
So we plug some headphones in. Your phone goes in your pocket, and you don't even look at it again.
Now, that's Rob Morgan. He's the creative director on the project and a friend of mine.
And as you walk around the environment...
With
your headphones on, audio starts playing, which tells you a story or a series of stories.
It's location-dependent audio, right?
Right, exactly, which means that we have seeded the environment. We've seeded the venue with a load of little Bluetooth beacons, which are about the size of a custard cream. And they send a signal to your phone, which tells you exactly where you are, which means that we can tell you a story which is dependent not just on the place that you're standing, but also where you're going, how fast you're moving. The choices that you make can be made by you literally voting with your feet. You might make a choice to go down one corridor or another to hear different parts of the story. And what they do is they constantly send out a signal, usually once only every 30 seconds or so. They ping outwards a signal which says, I am beacon number 5. Now, what we do is we build a system based on software that's been provided for us by a Canadian company called Motive.io. And we build a system which takes that data and turns it into, right, now we know exactly where beacon number 5 is, which means that if you're receiving the signal, we know exactly where you are. So your smartphone in your pocket receives the signal from the Bluetooth beacon. And then if we download an app to the handset, to your phone, then we can basically know precisely where you are, much more precisely than GPS, which allows us, you know, in other areas, this technology is being used to create museum-guided tours or to track people's path around a supermarket in order that supermarkets can optimize and see how their users use the space. But for us, it allows us to tell human-sized stories, because there are location-based stories that use GPS.
So basically, you pop on a pair of headphones that they give you, you press play, and this beautifully constructed, pre-recorded audio experience starts playing out right in front of you. You're released out into the halls of the convention center amidst tens of those little Bluetooth beacons, and then you start hearing voices. The voices of multiple people trying to persuade you to go on a date with them.
So they're going to tell you where they want to go. Maybe they want to show you something. So we have a character who's really familiar with the venue and they've had a lot of great experiences there and they want to take you around. Their idea of taking you on a virtual date.
You're listening to the person that you're on this sort of virtual date with, and as you follow their instructions, more and more of their story becomes revealed to you.
Absolutely. So let's say you choose one of the virtual dates. You have a choice of three right from the start. We have three fairly set paths, which do include choices. but which basically allow the user to, you know, they're listening to the person who they are, who they've connected with on an augmented reality date, and that person wants to take them somewhere specific within the venue. Now, that means that we can give you kind of a weirdly shared experience. So you might go to the bar, you might even be given a password to give to the bartender, and then you get a free drink or a free present or something. And it means that you can share a drink, you can share that kind of social experience with someone who not only isn't there, but who is in fact a fictional character.
And is pre-recorded.
Exactly.
So what Rob and Marie and the rest of their team are presenting here is, among other ideas, this concept of a future where one-on-one, human-to-human dating doesn't actually have to take place with two people in the same physical space. They argue that with our world going more and more digital every day, intimacy actually transcends proximity. At least in a few decades' time, it will.
There's bits and pieces of the technology that aren't there yet, but which are fully possible now. It's just that service doesn't exist. And I firmly believe it's because that type of encounter, that type of relationship, isn't fully normalized in the way that I think it will be in 20 to 30 years' time. You know, at the start of last century, almost nobody married or ended up with somebody who wasn't born within a radius of 20 miles of them. And now that's no longer the case because of air travel, because of the ease of travel. I think that all sorts of new types of relationships and, you know, committed, steady relationships, we'll start to see those happening among people who didn't meet until quite far into their relationship, or maybe even never meet. And we'll have to deal with the fact that people want those to be considered legitimate relationships, and there's no reason necessarily why they shouldn't be.
Here's Marie Horner again, the producer of Coming Out.
Out the back of Coming Out, it is a challenging experience. So we hope out of the back of this installation that we're encouraging people to reflect on what a future may look like with more choice and with less stigma, and certainly less judgment on those who are gender fluid or who perhaps don't assign themselves so strongly to a male or female, or who are transitioning. So really kind of challenging transphobia, but through beautiful story. So encouraging people to meet characters and to spend time with somebody who doesn't identify in the binary and what that means.
I think the future which we've been trying to create is one which, if I had to sum it up, it would be one where intimacy is not the same thing as proximity. And people are able to choose their own level of intimacy and their own level of emotional engagement with other people. And so that's an extension of one of the things that I love about the internet, in that it empowers a kind of closeness that we've never seen before, but which also allows people to choose their own level of engagement. And I'm interested in both the positives and the negatives of the impact that that will have on how we think about intimacy and how we talk about romance.
That'll do it for this week's episode. If you'd like to find out more about Future Fest so you can check out Marie and Rob's project Coming Out for yourself, you can head to futurefest.org. That link is below as well. Once again, I'm your host, Lee Alexander. If you'd like, you can follow me on Twitter, @LeeAlexander. This episode was produced by Matt Shore. He's on Twitter, @MattShore. That's right, he finally got his full name on Twitter. Congratulations, Matt. Also, a big thanks to a friend of the show, Kasia Murphy. She helps put Future Fest on, and she gave us a lot of production help on this one. So thanks, Kasia. By the way, if you like Chips with Everything, The Guardian has a lot of other wonderful podcasts on a wide range of topics. One of my favorites is Science Weekly. We'd love to share with you a taste of this week's Science Weekly episode.
But the sort of roundabout way that we look for consciousness is to look for things that we humans cannot do without it. So, for example, you cannot think back to your wedding day or whatever important day you had in the past. You cannot think back to a specific day without being conscious of it.
If you haven't already, you can subscribe to our podcast on theguardian.com or iTunes. Just search for Chips with Everything. And if you'd like to get in touch with the show, please do that at guardianchips@gmail.com. Thank you again so much for listening. We'll look forward to next time. Bye.
The Guardian has always been a community of readers, journalists, and contributors. And now our live events are bringing these people together.
The Guardian events are the Guardian at its best, which is a two-way conversation involving the reader and having a real, genuine, thriving debate.
Could be anything from food and culture, arts, to politics, to foreign affairs.
To see what events are coming up and to check out the benefits of membership, go to members.theguardian.com. Also, subscribe to the Guardian Live podcast. You can do so on iTunes, SoundCloud, and other reputable audio platforms.